Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
We're going to join together in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, our loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of praise and worship. We thank you for this time of Bible study. We pray, O Lord, that you'll bless our brother Murray as he comes to preach the Word of God to us. We pray, O Lord, you'll write it upon our hearts. We pray, Lord, you'll make us obedient hearers of the Word. We pray, O Lord, you will teach us and lead us in the way which we ought to go. We do pray, Lord, today, if there's one listening who does not know Christ as their Saviour, that even today will be the day when Christ is revealed unto them. And this day they will close in with Christ for salvation freely offered in the gospel. We thank thee for the scriptures. We thank thee for the merciful whosoever will may be saved. And we pray, O Lord, today that you will give help in the preaching of thy precious and holy word, to the glory of thy name and the extension of thy kingdom. We pray these things. Amen. We're reading from Matthew chapter 27 and commencing to read at verse number 11. Let's hear the word of God. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marvelled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, "Well, of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why, what evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Amen. We're going to sing at this point, "What Will You Do with Jesus?"
We're very glad to be here today to bring God's word to you. We trust you'll enjoy the word of the Lord. I'm going to speak today from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27 and the 19th verse. In that portion of scripture, it says, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Today, major and even minor events are instant public knowledge. Real-time reporting on TV and over the internet means that very little can take place in any part of the world without our full knowledge of it. A hurricane in the US, a mudslide in India, a drought in Australia, they can all be tracked as they happen. So, if a new world leader is elected, if a war breaks out, or a terrorist atrocity is committed, or a new treatment is found for cancer, we will all be aware of it. How different things were 2,000 years ago. The majority of the leading world events had their focus in the city of Rome. Yet, the most important and most significant event that has ever happened was about to take place in an unimportant and insignificant part of the empire, hidden away from world view. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was about to die on the cross at Calvary, so that sinners might be saved through his payment of the price for our sin, by the sacrifice of himself to satisfy the justice of God. Did the citizens of Rome know what was happening? No. What about Alexandria in Egypt? No. I dare say that there were those only several miles away in Damascus or Joppa or even in Jerusalem itself. And they were totally oblivious to what was unfolding in the city. The Lord Jesus Christ had been falsely accused by his enemies, the chief priests and the elders of the people. They wanted rid of him because they despised him and they rejected the words, the truths that he taught. Judas Iscariot had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the Saviour has been brought before the Roman governor to answer the charge brought by his enemies that he said he was the King of the Jews. Now in Matthew chapter 27 verse 18 we read concerning Pilate, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Pilate was fully aware that the charges brought against the Lord Jesus Christ were falsely construed by people who had a devious agenda. As governor, this presented him with a real difficulty. If he condemns the Lord Jesus Christ just to please the mob, then he will have to live with the fact that he did something that was totally unjust. If he sets Christ free, the accusers will create trouble in the city. Word will get back to Rome that Pilate is not really in control, and he might even be removed from office. This brings us to our text for today. Just as Pilate is considering all of these things and all of these developments, and when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. I would like to speak upon Pilate's wife's intervention and the effect that it had upon him. I'd like to do that under three simple separate headings. First of all, I'd like to talk to you about the caution that he received. Pilate received a very significant caution. Who did it come from? His wife. The person who was closest to him. The one person that he could trust in a very untrustworthy world. In a world of political intrigue where he was always exposed to danger. Now the scriptures do not even mention the name of his wife. She's mentioned only once in this verse in the whole Bible. Only 38 words are recorded concerning this woman in all of scripture. It is interesting that she is the only recorded person who spoke up against the decision to kill the Lord Jesus. Many other people opposed it. They were heartbroken because of it, and they were devastated at his crucifixion. But she is the only one recorded in the scriptures as opposing it. So this lady was not afraid to speak her mind on the matter. She sent Pilate a message. The message came to her husband, telling him of a terrible dream that she had. She was so frightened and she was so bewildered by the dream that she felt compelled to tell her husband. The dream was so bad that she had suffered many things because of it. Maybe it was the cruel treatment of Christ that she dreamt about, and she suffered because of that. Possibly, she saw in the dream the judgments that would befall those who had any part in the crucifixion of God's Son. Maybe she was even troubled because something in the dream revealed to her what would happen to her family, her husband, their children if they had any, because of his involvement. But the dream certainly troubled her. It troubled her greatly. So much so, as the Bible says, she suffered because of it. Undoubtedly, the dream was from the Lord. The New Testament records several dreams that have changed the course of history. There was the dream of the wise men, warning them not to return to Herod. Then there was the dream that Joseph received, warning him to flee to Egypt. Following that, there was the dream that he received, telling him it was safe to return from Egypt and go then to Galilee to raise the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate's wife told him to have nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he was not to condemn the Saviour. We have to say that she was the person that the Lord used to give Pilate a chance to do what was right. I wonder if someone has spoken to you about your soul recently, and because of that conversation, you have been given the chance to do that which is right. Has someone spoken to you of your need of Christ? That's a caution that you should take heed to. Now, what exactly was said in this caution? Well, Pilate's wife called the Lord Jesus Christ a just man. The word just here has the sense of innocent or not guilty. So Christ was holy, righteous and sinless. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The writer to the Hebrews said that the Lord Jesus Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled and separate from sinners. The Apostle Peter said he did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. What a contrast to the religious leaders who were seeking to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. They were unjust, but he was just. They were sinful, but he was sinless. And since Christ was just, Pilate's wife was pleading, "Don't say an unkind word. about him, don't do him an injury. Deliver him from his adversaries. If he must die, let it be by the hand of someone else, but not you, Pilate. Do nothing to him that you will be hereafter sorry for. She was so concerned that she sent this urgent message to Pilate on the very morning of the Saviour's trial. As Christ was being tried, the messenger arrived with a brief but urgent note. The message was short. It did not need to be long. It was brief, it was to the point. Of course, the message that Paul gave the Philippian jailer was brief, and it was to the point. When the jailer asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" the answer was short and simple. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Now, most dreams that we have are not like this one. They're quickly forgotten. We wake up in the morning, we wonder what it was all about. We know we had a dream, but we can't remember what we dreamt. This one was totally different. It was so important that it made an impression that Pilate's wife would never, ever forget it. I think the gospel warning with regard to sin and the need of salvation is also a very important warning that you will receive. And don't forget it. Don't forget the warning. You need to be saved. Why did Pilate receive this warning? The great C.H. Spurgeon has a wonderful explanation. I'd like to quote him at this point. He said at this very moment when he was vacillating, when he had proffered to the Jews the choice of Barabbas or Jesus of Nazareth, at that very moment, I say, when he had taken his seat upon the bench and was waiting for their choice, there came from the hand of God a warning to him, a warning which would be forever made clear that if he condemned Jesus, it would be done voluntarily by his own guilty hands. Jesus must die by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, and yet it must be by wicked hands that he is crucified and slain, and hence Pilate must not sin in ignorance. Pilate received the warning. He knew what he was doing. He would be without excuse. And having heard who Christ was and the need of forgiveness, he was without excuse, just as you are. And when did he receive this caution? Just in the nick of time. Just as he was about to make the judgment. Can I mention in the second place the careless response? You see, Pilate gave them a choice, Barabbas or Christ. He did that to curry favour with the Jews and to make Roman rule less odious to these people. You see, Pilate only cared about his Roman master's opinion. That's all he cared about. His wife sensed her solemn responsibility to warn him. But all he cared about was his job and his position. Pilate was afraid of losing his governorship. The Jews would be angry. They'd complain. Word would get back to Tiberius. He might lose his lucrative position. Added to this is the fact that he was a coward. A man with legions at his beck and call, and yet he's afraid of the Jewish mob. Afraid to let one poor prisoner go, whom he knew to be innocent. Maybe you're like that. When it comes to the choice you make, you choose the world. And the friends of the world and the things of the world, you're afraid to choose Christ. Pilate was afraid to lose a few things in this world. And therefore he rejected Christ. The caution received, the careless response, and can I mention in conclusion the calamitous result? Because here's Pilate sitting on a judgment chair. On this occasion, he's judging Christ. Does he realize that washing his hands in a basin of water will not render him innocent? Does he realize that very soon he'll be judged by Christ? The tables will turn. The Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. What a calamity to be told on the judgment day, "I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." I say to you in conclusion, Pilate probably never thought that one day Christ would judge him. I wonder, what about you? Do you realize that one day you will have to answer to the Lord for your sin and your life, and he will judge you if you reject him as Pilate did? One day he will reject you. So accept the work of Christ on the cross and his death for the remission of your sins. Accept the Lord Jesus. Don't reject him. We're going to bow together in prayer to bring our service to a conclusion. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the warning from thy word, and we pray that we will not make the mistake that Pilate made. We pray that we will heed the warning voice of the Lord. Turn to Christ and trust in him. Believe on him and be saved. All these mercies we plead for in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.